How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Good morning, Bible students. Maybe you're listening to this broadcast in the afternoon. Maybe you're listening to it over the radio station at the mother station or on the internet. But wherever you're tuning in on this broadcast, we want you to know that we're just trying to preach the old-time religion. And we believe in the old-time religion, provided it's old enough. We go back beyond the popes. We go back beyond the presidents. We go back beyond the cardinals. We go back beyond Protestantism and Romanism. We're going back beyond all man-made isms and spisms and spasms, and trying to get back beyond all of that to the clear, fresh air and the cool water coming out of the fountain right out of the Word of God. Why did God give us the Bible? Of course, the Bible is not just to be some kind of a keepsake that we put under our arm and take it to church and then do as we please. The Bible is our rule book. It's our guidebook, and we must go by the Bible. And the Bible is the only book in the world that tells about the origin of man. The Bible is the only book that tells us where we came from, how we got here, why we're here, and where we're going, and how to be saved in eternity. The Bible is the Word of the living God. And as we're studying on the subject of what the Bible says about baptism, there's no reason why preachers should get all red in the face when you talk about baptism. The faith-onlys especially will turn, as it were, all red in the face when you start talking about what the Bible plainly says about baptism. When you start reading the verses where the Bible teaches that baptism has a part in saving us, they turn every color in the rainbow. When you read where the Bible says, and Jesus said you had to be baptized to be saved, why, they get in their argumentative gear and they try to explain away what Jesus said. Then Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of sins. One Baptist preacher said that anybody that would preach baptism to be saved and for the remission of sins is preaching a doctrine right out of hell. How could anyone become so prejudiced to a doctrine that was initiated by Jesus? Reminds me of what the late M.S. Kitchen said, who came out of the hard coal regions of Pennsylvania and organized a New Testament preacher training school in New Jersey to train preachers in the East. Several of us from my home church, the Ocean View Church of Christ, went there, and he said he believed that as the cross became the stumbling block in the first century, baptism is becoming a stumbling block today because Satan has built up an argument against the essentiality of baptism. Why, for instance, the Baptists will require that you have to be baptized to get into their church, but they won't let Jesus say you got to be baptized to get into His. And we're not preaching against Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Episcopalians. We're just trying to say that that is all moonshine, bootleg, homemade religion. And we want to go back beyond all of that to the original religion and original Christianity that is explained on the pages of the Word of God. I want to explain this, that in all of these denominations, there's a lot of fine people. I was talking to one of my best preacher friends up in Somerset, Pennsylvania, and we were talking about this. A lot of fine religious people everywhere, people that believe in being born again, people that believe you have to repent, people that believe you have to pray. But it's not what is believed and what they're doing that's right is the problem. It's the additions of men that constitute the problem, and that's where denominationalism come in. Bible scholars, if people just took the Bible only, they would be Christians only. If people took the Bible only, there wouldn't be a Protestant on the earth, there wouldn't be a Catholic on the earth. And the reason why the Muslims are so upset with the Christians is because over there in that part of the world, they've never seen a Christian. All they have seen is an apostate religion fighting in the name of the cross and carrying a sword, a bloody sword. Friends, that is far from Christianity. And I think what's called the church, the Roman church, the Roman Catholic church, owes the Muslims an apology. And of course the Muslims owe the Catholics an apology. And the Catholics need to realize that it's not Catholicism that'll save. It's not Islam that'll save. It's not Protestantism that'll save. It's Jesus Christ that will save. And this might sound like it's way out as an odd doctrine, but we're simply trying to tell you that the Bible only still makes Christians only. And we're dealing with a question that the Apostle Paul posed right here in the sixth chapter of the book of Romans. He said in verse 2, "How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" He was talking to the Roman Church of Christ. He was talking to the Roman Christians. They were simply members of the church. Back there was no denominationalism. They were just members of the Lord's church. They wore the Lord's name and followed the Lord's doctrines, and they just went the Lord's way and did what the Bible says. And these people that were already Christians, and we pointed out over and over that these epistles were written to people that were already saved. He wasn't writing to the Roman church to save them, but to encourage them to remain saved and to grow in the Lord. They were already obedient to the gospel. And they needed to be encouraged as far as living their lives and going on into the future in faith. And so he asked a question, "How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" And then he reminded them that at their baptism, their lives were changed. That's where they were saved. That's where the blood of Jesus saved them. That's where the power of the Holy Spirit came over them when they were baptized. That's what Paul is saying here. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 6. Now, we're reading from the King James translation this morning. There's other translations out there, and there's a lot of false statements that are being made about translations, but I just want to remove all doubt. I'm just reading to you from the King James this morning, and Paul is writing here to the Romans, to the Roman Christians, and in Romans 6:1 he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Of course, that was foolish. It's foolish to say we're going to see how much we can sin to see how much the Lord can forgive. We're not going out to indulge in sin just to see how the Lord can forgive us. That is foreign to the teachings of the Word of God. You can't just go out here and let your hair down and believe that some kind of an indulgence will save you. St. Peter's Basilica was built on indulgences, buying a month ahead of time for the right to sin for 30 days. With your sins already forgiven. We're not in a kind of an indulgence or indulgence kind of a situation. We realize that once we're saved, we're to live like we're saved. We're going to have problems with sin. We're going to have problems with doing things that are wrong. As we try to do right, we're going to do enough that's bad, and so we're not going to try to do bad to see how genuine the Lord is in His forgiveness. But now here He's telling them how they can go on and live the Christian life, and he says, "How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Listen to what he says. "Don't you know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" And so the question is, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? He's reminding them, don't you remember when you were baptized for the remission of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit? Remember that you were born again of water and the Spirit? For the last 400 or 500 years, the Calvinists and the faith-onlys have filled the airways, they filled the television ways, they filled the bookstores on the false doctrine that the water in John 3 didn't mean baptism, but for 1,000 years, to Bible scholars, it meant nothing but baptism when it says, "Be born of water and the Spirit," John 3:5. Read it in your devotional reading. But he says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" There are people that say you're saved before you're baptized. Well, if you're saved, you're in Christ. I think you would have to agree with that. Let me repeat that again. If you're saved, naturally, as being saved, you're in Christ. But here the Bible says, "Don't you know that so many of you as were baptized into Christ?" You see, they weren't saved until they were baptized into Christ. In case there's someone that has just tuned in today on this broadcast for the first time, we're not starting out with baptism in the plan of salvation. We start out with believing in the faith of God, believing in the grace of God. We start out by hearing the gospel and believing it. We start out by repenting. We don't deal with baptism until we deal with faith and the grace of God and repentance and confessing. And then we come to the position where the blood washes away our sins when we are baptized into Christ. That's why the Bible says we're baptized for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then Paul not only says in Romans 6:3 that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. We were buried into His death. You see, you're not buried when you're sprinkled. You're not buried when you're poured. All of you out there that were christened as babies, you're still in your sin. If you were taught that that was baptism, you've got to come out of it. You've got to come out of it, and I would obey the gospel on the basis of your repentance. I would be baptized without delay, but I wouldn't go to a priest or a pastor and have them to do it if they haven't been preaching it all along. They'll do it just to keep you and to keep your tithe going into the offering plate, but when you ask them to baptize you the Bible way for remission of sins, they'll do it to keep you and then laugh behind your back with their friends and church members telling them that you did it, but it really wasn't necessary. How can we say that anything is not necessary that is commanded by the Lord? Jesus Christ Himself said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Peter on Pentecost had the keys. He was speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." And when I quoted what Peter said under the inspiration on Pentecost, Oliver B. Green told me to my face, he didn't care what Peter said. That was saying, I don't care what God says. That was saying, I don't care what the Holy Spirit says. That's saying, I don't care what the Bible says. Friends, if you just look at the Apostle Peter when he's inspired of God and say you don't care what he says, that is a slap in the face of God. And I hope he repented of that before he went out into eternity. But he told me to my face in Chincoteague, Virginia, that he did not care what Peter said. My friends, when Peter was preaching under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, what he was saying was just as inspired as if God said it or Jesus said it, or as it's in the Bible, because it's all the inspired Word of the living God. And so we're baptized into His death. Then in verse 4, it settles the question, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. A first grader can understand that. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism. Out there in radio land, have you been buried with Him by baptism? If you haven't been buried with Him, you've not been baptized. Chances are that priest or that pastor that sprinkled you or poured water on your head or sprinkled water on your head, chances are they have been immersed. Up until several years ago, the vast majority of priests and pastors had been immersed, even though many of them didn't preach it. Well, they realized they had to, but they make it easier for the people, they think, and try to change things up for the convenience of the people. But Christianity is not a convenience religion. It is a religion where we're subject to God. It's a religion where we have to get into the Scriptures. It's a religion where we're serious enough to do what God has told us to do. And the Bible says, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. It goes on and says that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If that doesn't explain baptism, I don't know what does. Well, we'll take up where we left off next week. Tell a friend about this broadcast. Be tuned in on the radio, call letters, get on the internet, WGMD.com, anywhere in the world, at the same time that we're on our mother station back in Delaware. And so we just say, God bless you. If you're not a Christian, repent and be baptized, buried in the water, for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Until you do it, you're in your sins, and you need to get your life straightened out before it's too late. But then after that, you must be faithful unto death. Let's close with prayer. Father, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the plan of salvation. I pray that people will receive and obey the truth. In Christ's name, amen.